Greetings, aliens. It is me, your one and only host, Miss Ella Sanchez of the Nadie Preguntó podcast, because truly nobody asked for this podcast whatsoever. But I'm having a blast and I hope you are too. Wow, second episode of the night, guys. I'm pre-recording. I'm proud of myself. But this episode is actually for January 7th, I believe. It's when it comes out, because like whatever next Sunday is after the one that's passing that. Anyways, so you read the title. We're going to get a little deep for a second. You know, we're going to get deep. We get deep on this podcast, you know. But nonetheless, I'm actually going to keep this really short. I don't know how long this episode is going to be. It always varies. Sometimes I think it's going to be a super long episode and I actually surprise myself and it's not. But I will remind you all that just once again, please drill it into your mind. The program that I use only allows me to record in 30-minute increments, okay? Thank you. With that being said, you read the title. We're just going to get right into today's episode. Dive head first, just kind of get things going. I am going out of town, so I need to get this show on the road. I ordered Postmates tonight, so we got to get her done. So sit back, relax, have a nice meal. Make yourself your favorite meal. Pour some tea, pour some coffee. Have your little favorite drinkity drink, you know? Whatever makes you happy. But yeah, let's get right into it. I'm going to really just get to the point. I'll see you guys on the other side. All right, friends. You knew this was coming. Okay. Just letting y'all know. I've been dedicating all of my comeback episodes to what is going on in the world. I just like to usually put the same sources down below each episode. I'm just here to remind you to be mindful of the world that is going on around us. The world cannot be forgotten, and what's going on in Palestine, the Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, all of that matters. It's important to be, as a society, aware and just trying our best to be mindful of just daily activities. And just me to remind you and remind me even, like, ourselves as humans, that honestly, like, this is going on. This is the lives of several others in the world, across the world. And honestly, me ignoring the elephant in the room like others have is just not going to cut it in this scenario. It's not going to happen. It's not going to slide. So, like I said, I've been dedicating every episode thus far since my comeback to what is going on in the world and just bringing your attention to it, to not forget about it, to please keep talking about it. Do not forget about other countries, other people that are suffering. I'm here to remind you again once more that you are listening to this with technology, with a form of communication, a device in hand, or anything along those lines. Me even recording this, I have technology, I have a functioning, computer, I have a functioning microphone, I have functioning everything in my life right now, which is more so shocking that others are not experiencing that and they're going through the worst of times. So with that being said, please be mindful of what is going on in your world around you. We are human beings above, we are just human beings. And so, like I said, I'll be linking all of the sources for Palestine, the Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, just to learn more, who to follow, who to keep an eye out for, and just not forget about these countries and not forget about the suffering that is being caused, and to just once again be mindful. And I also will reiterate as well, by the time this is live, a lot of people will be starting universities, a lot of people will be starting college, or just, you know, the school year in general. From pre-K to older, I'm here to remind you that as you're getting ready to prepare for a new year, a new start for yourself, going back to school for my students out there, I need you guys to keep in mind that a lot of people did not get to see 2024 and, mind you, continue their academic success and careers. I mentioned in my last episode that keep them in your hearts, keep the children of Gaza. If you guys did not know, I wish I could link the source to you. I was looking for the source as to like where it said that the academic school year for the kids in Gaza was canceled because all the kids died. They did not make it. So that's not normal. That's not healthy. That's just terrifying. I can't even tell you how I can only think of that. I can't even imagine it. I can only simply just say what I've seen and heard and learned from. and just pass it to you if you haven't known. And like I said, if you're starting school this year, please keep in mind that these kids did not make it to see what could have been and what goals they could have achieved if they stayed in school and followed their dreams. And they're not numbers. No one should be reduced to numbers. That's not how we as human beings should operate. And so with that being said, please, when you go start your new year on the first day, just keep in mind, I'm here and I'm going to be here for the children in Gaza that did not make it. And for even just fellow college students that didn't make it, or they graduated and they didn't even get a chance to start their life just yet. It really is so dystopian. And I just need to keep that in mind and keep you as a listener in mind if you're also starting college, or if you finished college, if you've graduated already, maybe if you graduated 10 years ago versus you graduated last year, you graduated like 2 months ago, 3 months ago, wherever and whenever you've graduated, just keep in mind that you had the chance to do that. You had the opportunity to do that. You had a chance to finish it, take your career somewhere with your said degree. And I need you to realize that a lot of kids in Gaza are not going to have that. And they are not going to make it. And they did not make it to 2024 to finish their academic year. So I'm not trying to sound like, no, actually I am trying to sound morbid, because it is a really apocalyptic time that we're living in. It's really hard to just like keep going on with life and also just like remember, oh, by the way, I'm complaining about things that don't matter at all versus somebody else that's going through absolute hell and back. So please keep in mind what's going on in this world. Do not forget these people. Do not forget about them. Email your reps, call people, whatever it is. Educate yourself, educate others who are not aware of these things. And yeah, that's really all I have to say. Like I always say, I never know how to transition out of this segment ever. But all I can say is that please be mindful. Please be aware. Take others into consideration. We are a community above all else. And at the end of the day, the government's not going to save us. Community will. So we better start being nice to each other. I need you guys to realize that. Community will always be there for you. The government never will be, and has shown so much evidence thus far about, as you get older, that the government does not care if you live or die. So with that being said, we're going to head into the episode, and I'll see you guys on the other side. Bye. And we're back, ladies and gents. So guys, I don't really know how to navigate this topic today. I feel like this episode, I don't really have too many notes. I usually like to have notes and just map out the podcast. And if I have a lot to say, I'll like write it down before I forget. Or other times I just kind of write one sentence and a couple phrases. And this episode is one of them. Once again, I am only allowed to record in 30-minute increments. So we'll see how long this is. I have a feeling it's going to be quite short, like super mini. But you read the title. And today's episode is being the daughter of immigrants, or overall just kids and children of immigrants. Essentially, if you're a listener right now, you're an adult of an immigrant parent or parents. And I don't know why this has been pending on my mind. It's been kind of just looming over me, not in a bad way, essentially, but it's been just kind of in my mind. It's always on my mind every now and then, but like relatively recently, it's like been really heavy on my mind. And in my last episode, I mentioned towards the end, like, I really, really want to make, you know, proving culture really well known, and not like a trendy thing. I don't want to make proving culture to be like some trend that some fucking white bitch on TikTok is going to steal from, colonize modern day and make that happen. No. Because for some reason, I feel like as if when cultures and or something from a culture goes, quote, viral, I feel like people always jump on the train. It's like, you guys are ruining shit. You guys are ruining shit for us. And I'll give you an example. A long time ago, super long ago, I don't even know what year it was, but I don't know if you guys know Tana Mojo. I think that she's fucking hilarious, dude. And her rebrand is actually pretty sick. I don't fuck with her in this moment when she did this, but at least she's honest about how stupid she is sometimes. I'll give her credit for that. And her rebrand is actually pretty great. I'm not like crazy about like Tana. I'm not like always following her, but like the times I do see her like viral and like being talked about, I feel like it's actually fucking hilarious at what she does. Nonetheless though, anyways, like centuries ago, it feels like she like posted like a video on Instagram stories of her like discovering, like pepino con limón y sal. Like, bro, I was like, not the colonizers finding this shit out, dog. And she made it seem like it was revolutionary. I was like, baby girl, wait until you find out Latinos have been doing that since the dawn of time. Since the sun rose at the dawn of time day, Latinos have been doing that. Like, humans have been doing that. A lot. That's a real thing, dog. It's been in Latino households for centuries. And what is it? I don't know, dog. It's just hilarious to me. Of course, dude. People keep texting me. Ugh, God, why do people keep texting me when I'm like the most busiest person? It's like, guys, I'm an entrepreneur. God, you guys are so inconsiderate. You guys are so rude and disrespectful. Hold on, guys. There we fucking go. God, can people stop texting me? Y'all, this is why I believe in D&D. And I have D&D on. Sorry, guys. We were getting in a really deep conversation. And I just like had my fucking laptop go off twice, actually. Last episode and this one. So I apologize. But normally it's having D&D on, even for your family members. Sorry, I said it. Okay. Sorry, I said it. Anyways, though. What were we talking about? Wow. Yeah, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm also very tired. Anyways. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Tana Mojo and, like, how she discovered – well, she did not discover, if we're being honest. She, like, found out about how, like, Latinos use pepinos con sal y limón as, like, food. And she was like, dog, this shit tastes of fire. I'm, like, watching this Instagram story. I'm like, dog, oh, my God, no, she didn't. This is so the white prerogative, dog. I can't. Anyways, though, that's what we were talking about. But like I said, like in my last episode, I pretty much ended with just, you know, wanting to bring Peruvian culture to LA and actually talk about it from the lens of Peruvians only, not through anyone else's lenses, not through anyone else but Peruvians from all over the world, from Peru itself and themselves to just Peruvians in the diaspora in the States, from Miami to New Jersey. Apparently all of y'all live there. I don't fucking know why. Sorry, I don't see the hype. I'm sorry, you guys, crucify me. To even few in LA. I don't know, man. I feel like it's really hard to navigate in this time. And like right now I'm like still thinking of like how I plan to do those things. How do I plan to bring that culture even more so alive and well put together, and just a culture that I want people to admire, a culture that I want people to be proud to know of and actually learn things from us and learn from us from directly from Peruvians only. And like I said, I don't really know what inspired me. I just am saying that like it's been on my mind recently, and that really is all I have to say. I definitely want to revisit this topic when I have more time to actually do more research and maybe even actually interview other daughter of immigrants, you know. I do have an older sister. I know that she would probably have a lot more into, like, she's told me, I feel like every older sibling versus, you know, younger sibling have told, always telling you that, like, oh, they were super hard on me and then they're easy on you now, you know, because you're the younger one. And I feel like that wasn't really the case for me. I feel like it was easy on me in the beginning, you know? It was easy on me in the beginning. And I feel like now with, you know, patching things up, I'm honestly TMI. If you guys don't know about, like, my family life, first of all, I'm never going to explain, like, the details of it because you guys don't give one a shit, and two, it's none of your damn business, like, actual real life, like, information about my personal life and, like, deep personal shit. That's what my therapist is for, all right? I don't want to monetize my struggles, but like the gist of it is that my parents are separated. It's really not that shocking to most people. It's like a very common thing for life. It's not something that is so unheard of. It's very common, but the way it happened was traumatic for me. The way it was handled was traumatic for me, amongst both parties. Sorry, parents, I love y'all, but it's just the truth. You guys were a little dysfunctional making it happen, and you guys still loom it over each other to this day, and I still have to fucking hear about it, unfortunately. Sorry, not sorry. It's the way it is. But nonetheless, the way it was handled was just so traumatic, and it still is to this day for me. It's frustrating, it's traumatic, it's unfair, it's annoying of all things. I feel like the best word I can describe is it's annoying and it's frustrating. And I'm not going to elaborate as to why it is. You can just take my word for it. But nonetheless, my sister was telling me like, oh, dude, like being a daughter of immigrant and stuff like that, like they were obviously by default, they were harder on me than they are with you. They're so nice to you. They're so lenient with you. I never had that. And I was like, actually, dude, like my sister and I, since we're so far apart in age, we kind of just like missed a lot of each other's like life experiences and life stories. Like when the second my sister moved out, that's where like shit kind of hit the fan for me. Cause like whatever happened between my family and her kind of fell on me now. And so it was kind of just like they were leaning onto me now since like the older daughter left, which is great. You know, I want my sister to have that. And she did. She did exactly that. And I absolutely support it. But then I also noticed it was starting to drive me crazy. It was trying to drive me insane. It was trying to drive me like up a wall. I wanted to just like run from everything. And so I told her recently, I was like, dude, like, you think they were easy on me? When I was in high school, I was a nightmare. Like, I was a fucking, even into early college, I was a nightmare, dude. I was a nightmare. And for y'all who are saying, like, I know this is going to be very controversial. I know that you guys are going to beat my ass virtually for this. But in reality, I need you guys to, like, free yourself from your parents. Free yourselves from your parents. The older you get, the more you realize that everything they've done for you, yes, you can admire them for, you can thank them for eternity for, and there's no such thing as, or no, two things can be true at once. You can be grateful for the experiences your parents gave you, the sacrifices they've made, everything else in between, the cliche immigrant parent life, everything they've done. You are allowed to appreciate those things because you actually have to. It's a requirement. But when it starts to get a little problematic is when they do that and they shove it in your face every single time, one. And two, it gets to a point where they think they can just do all of that to you and not notice the faults of that and not notice how damaging it is to not be able to form your own coherent opinion of something or just something that you want to do differently. I feel like Latino parents or just in general, immigrant parents overall, they don't really know how to handle change. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that as you get older, if you live in the US, if you've immigrated there, things change. You're allowed to follow other customs and traditions. Who's to say you can't? Or also you can fully not change your customs, your cultures, your traditions and whatnot. Who says that you have to? I'm not here to tell you that. But at a certain point, it does get damaging. It does end up being a problem. For me, at least, it was. And when I told my sister, I was like, yeah, dog, you weren't here, but I was a nightmare. I was a fucking nightmare in high school. Yeah, I was going to school, getting decent grades. I was still passing everything. I wasn't like a straight A student, but I was getting A, Bs, whatever, the occasional C. I wasn't like the fucking like student villain. Like I was just normal. I just went to school, called it a day, had friends, went out all the time. And the reason I was such a nightmare is because things were hitting the fan the most in high school for me, like junior year to senior year to my first year of college ever. And it just progressively got worse to the point where I know y'all are going to beat my ass for this. Controversial. I know y'all are going to beat my ass for this, but I don't give a fuck anymore. Okay. I was talking back to my father. I need you guys to realize my brown immigrant grew from rags to riches father, okay? Because he was really frustrating me to the point where, like, we would just, the only way that we could understand each other is that we screamed at each other. That was basically it. And he wouldn't understand where I was coming from, and I wouldn't understand where he was coming from. So we clashed heads a lot to this day. We kind of do, but it's a little more, you know, that's where, like, we kind of both have accepted defeat as to, like, we're both different people. Obviously, like, he grew up in poverty, and he built himself up, which I admire. But he never healed from that. He never healed from that trauma. And to this day, he believes it's not a big deal. He believes, like all immigrant parents, they don't believe any of it is a problem. They don't believe that it's real. And if they do end up believing it, it takes them a long time to, one, first accept it. Two, to takes another long time for them to actually take action towards it. First it's to acknowledge it. Two, to process it. Three, to actually take action on said problem and trauma, and four, actually live with the trauma and work through it. How often do you know immigrant parents that actually make it to level four of actually going to therapy or processing their emotions and actually healing and learning to cope with the trauma that they have in daily life and actually, you know, catch themselves when they're actually following something they shouldn't be doing. How often is that? Almost never, right? But nonetheless, I should have prefaced this by saying that this is pretty much how I'm perceiving it. This is how I'm perceiving my experience, just overall how I've dealt with other types of immigrant parents. I feel like immigrant parents are very much collectively the same in their own way, yet different. Cultures are different, but like their attitudes are most likely very similar with very, very few differences, but different cultures, same kind of end goal for their kids, you know? And is that wrong? No, it just comes at a price. And so when I say that it was traumatic for me to deal with my father, who would never understand me, never accept what I had to say, always would call me wrong, gaslight me, manipulate me, narcissistic, you name it, like for real. So for me, whenever I meet people that are narcissistic and manipulative and all of that in between, I can easily scope it out in like minutes. I'm like, oh, like I can literally have like one conversation with one person I met for the first time and I just know they're narcissistic by right off the bat. And I'm like, oh, you sound like my dad, dog. So yeah, I know for a fact we're never speaking again. And so yeah, there's that. Like there's that. But like I said, it was traumatic, bro. It was traumatic. And when I told my sister that, she was like, wait, really? Like, you were that much of a nightmare? I was like, oh, girl, yes, I was. Oh, yes, I was. My dad would argue left and right, dog, because I called him out on the things that he's done. And, you know, immigrant parents, they hate, or just parents overall, I feel like, do not like when you call them out on their bullshit because they think they're always right because they're the adult. But once you become an adult and you start calling out their bullshit and their problems, and also most of the time you do it in a nice way, like most of the time you start off in a nice way, they don't believe you, then you have to resort to being like, you know, kind of rude about it, being like aggressive about it. Unfortunately, it leads to that. Do I choose that? No. Am I forced to choose it most of the time? Yeah. Harsh reality. Whoop, there goes gravity, you know? And so with that being said, I've done immigrant lifestyle and, or no, not lifestyle, immigrant. I've done a lot of episodes in regarding to the child of immigrants and what it is, how it develops over time. And I feel like we've all had the collective experience as immigrants. It doesn't even have to necessarily just be Latino parents. It can just be any kid of immigrants. I feel like I mentioned different cultures, same ideals, same end goals most of the time. And so, are they necessarily wrong? Are these parents wrong for wanting a better life for their kids? No, absolutely not. Are we as kids of immigrants allowed to, or actually should we admire these sacrifices? Of course, as you very much should. But also it comes at a price. It's not perfect. Nothing in this life is perfect. And do you realize at the end of the day that your parents did the best they could with what they had and what they knew? Yeah. It took me a long time to realize that as an adult. And as you do become an adult, you kind of realize what your parents did was painful in the time, hurtful, and traumatic, if we're going to really get to specifics. And whatever that is, that doesn't necessarily be immigrant related. It can be so many different branches of that. There's so many subtopics you can reach about. But at the end of the day, there's the same end goal. It's like, you both want what's best for each other, right? Duh. And sometimes growing up, it is hard. Me, I know that y'all are about to beat my ass, like I mentioned, but I did talk back to my brown immigrant father that grew from rags to riches, okay? I did it. I had to. It was the only way that he could understand me. And the times that he never did, I still had to go even harder than usual. I'd have to be really, really mean, really aggressive, really tough. And mind you, I'm in high school when this is happening. I'm a kid. I'm not even 18 yet. Like, I have to be doing this. And like I said, it's really hard to call out, you know, parents and their behavior sometimes. And also, like I said, you have to do it in a nice way. That's the usual way you start off with. And then they never accept that they're flawed or they have problems or they have things to heal from. And they just call you an idiot or they're like, oh, no sabes nada, whatever. You have no idea what it's like to be an adult, blah, 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 blah. Nonetheless, hopefully the future generation of parents that are second gen or whatever, may y'all figure that out. I'm not having kids for a lot of reasons and my trauma being one of them, a huge one. So there's that. But I'm just saying, guys, like this has been in my mind my whole life. And I just feel like some months it's like heavier, not in a bad way. It's just like, I think of it more. Other times I don't even think about it. I don't even remember it. And also, like I said, I blocked off most of my memory for years. Like, I don't remember high school really. I just remember I was out all the time because I had friends at the time. And other than that, I remember nothing. I remember nothing else. I don't want to remember. High school was really hard for me, and like at home wise, you know. And no, I'm not saying this was like anything abuse related. It was not that. It was just dealing with someone like my father was really hard. And especially when somebody is closed-minded and refuses change and fears change. Like, I don't know what it is with immigrant parents, but they just absolutely fear, loathe, and cannot let go of the concept of what it means to change, to do things differently, to do things differently in the sense of how they did things. Or maybe it can even be a sense of envy. I've heard cases of people I've met or situations I've heard where, like I said, not all like immigrant parents, but I'm just saying in general that there's a sense of envy in their kids. You know, they envy their kids because they have it easy. They have it like this. And I didn't have that opportunity. It's like, wake the fuck up, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Like, you're the one that moved and immigrated to another country to have better opportunities for your kids, to make those sacrifices. And when then you give them those sacrifices and worked so hard to get there, you should be thrilled. You should be proud. You should be very, very proud to say that you did that for your children. But to feel envy and kind of jealousy for that, I feel like that's really sus. I feel like that's even weirder. I feel like that's not the right way to do things in life. To me, that doesn't make any sense, to be honest with you. It's like, okay, so I work my ass off to get here. I work my ass off to put my kids through this, to put my kids through this education and that education, college, university, and how they might even want to pursue more, like a PhD and all those things in between, like whatever else that looks like. And the second it's challenged, or the second it may even happen, it's like, oh, you got it easy, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, dude, like, you are the one that made these sacrifices. And when they come to fruition, you should be thrilled. You should be proud of your kid. You should be proud of yourself as a parent, as an immigrant parent, that you made this happen. You should look at yourself in the fucking mirror and be like, damn, I did that shit for my kids, and I will do it for every generation after me. And then you can show your kids how to do it for their kids. And then the cycle keeps going. The cycle keeps going. So for me, I don't really understand the whole like envy aspect of it, but never ends. And like I said, I've done several immigrant related episodes, and it is a very complex with no really end goal or end conversation to have with just being the kid of immigrants, the daughter of immigrants. And it is something that I think about almost every day of my life, and it leaves with me. It's always there. It's always lingering. It's always in my shoulder. It's always there. It's just on my mind every now and then. I like pass it in thought sometimes. Other days I don't remember it. It's just always lingering in my mind, in the back of my brain, my subconscious, because it's a part of who we are as immigrant like kids. You know, it's really, it really is so common, universal experiences, yet very different. And like I said, there's no right or wrong. It's just experiences that need to be validated, that need to be heard, that need to be said. And I reflect on that a lot. And thinking of my time in high school where I had to be basically an adult and call out my parent, or no, my, you know, or parents or parent behavior, it's like, to do that, to stand up for yourself like that is big. And like I told y'all, and I'll say it again, I argued and talked back with my brown immigrant father. I need you guys to relay that. To me, every time I've said that to other friends of mine, they're like, dude, did you want to die? Is that what it is? I'm like, no, dude, I just got tired of hearing that mentality. It's like, oh, you can't speak up for your parents. It's like, or speak up to your parents. It's like, no, you can. You just need to accept whatever the fuck happens after that. You know, like, just be aware of that. Trust. It gets ugly and it's not fun. It's like that's how I am now lately in my adulthood, like ever since I had to do that in high school, like being a kid and having to talk back to my dad calling out his behavior into my adulthood. I do that now, talk back, question everything, think everything is offensive when I don't want it to be, and it may not even be offensive. You know, I'm pretty harsh with my tone on a lot of things, not because I am on purpose. I just am, because that's, I'm just so used to having to call things out when I see them and calling out behaviors when I see them when they're wrong, and kind of dismissing any form of like understanding from somebody else's point of view. I'm like, no, I don't want to fucking hear it. You're a liar. You're not a good person. I see that you're a bad person, and I don't want to engage in that anymore, and et cetera, et cetera. But I think that the second half of this episode will be focused on never being enough for either culture that you're in, for my, you know, children of immigrants there out there, and how that affects you, what it does to you, and stuff like that. So we'll get into the second half around now, but I'll see you guys on the other side. Not us being deep right now. Anyways, I'll see you guys on the other side. And we're back, my fellow ladies and gents and my fellow aliens. Wow. So I actually want to kind of combine my two bullet points here that I have, or three technically. They all kind of intertwine together, so I'm going to end with that today. We talked about, you know, being the daughter of immigrants, or just overall a child of an immigrant parent, regardless if it's Latino related or not. It can be any Latino, or it can be any immigrant parent. Your experience is valid and also valued, and should be talked about if you ever feel that you really have a lot to say, and it's just something that needs to be talked about in general. I feel like kids of immigrants really need to talk about their experiences, good and bad, you know, all of it included, when you feel ready, when you feel like it's time, or just kind of talk about it with yourself maybe first, or, you know, maybe you're more comfortable and you want to talk about it with your actual parents or other relatives, loved ones, friends, therapists, you know. Me personally, I've never really told the actual story of what happened in, like, you know, my life. I never will. It's just a lot of stress. It was a lot of trauma. And it took me until going to therapy to realize it was considered trauma. For the longest time, I thought it was just the way it was supposed to be. I thought that was just the whole life of being a immigrant kid and just dealing with immigrant parents. And it just is hard, but it does get better, obviously. And once you become an adult, it kind of just fades out. Maybe it doesn't for you, some of you guys, but it has for me. And I'm very honored to have gotten to that point where, like, I'm finally respected as an adult with adult opinions and my own opinions and just who I am and forming that who I am. But my last points that I'm going to actually just put all together, because they are kind of, you know, intertwined together, is the never being enough for either culture that you're in. And it's not my fault for that. And you're allowed to give yourself your own meaning when it comes to connecting to your culture. And when I say that, I mean, look, I grew up in LA. I'm very honored. And I did move to Miami, primarily Latinos central in Miami. Or when I say, actually, let me rephrase that. I moved to Florida, like different places. Miami and Florida, two polar opposite worlds, two polar opposite universes. Nowhere near the same. Are they in the same, you know, facility of, you know, Florida as a whole concept? Yes, it is very real. But I like to separate Miami and Florida because to me they're not the same, nowhere near it. Well, let me rephrase that. So I moved to Florida and it was a primarily, you know, white area. Duh. I was fetishized. I was kind of looked at as the token. I was looked at as, you know, kind of the odd one in the bunch, if you will, growing up. And I still remember to this day, I've told stories in my previous episodes of what that feels like. I don't remember which episode in particular, but it has happened. And realizing that, you know, you get exposed to that at such a young age. I like didn't even know anything about my culture at that time. I knew that my parents were Latino and they spoke Spanish and that was it. And that's why I didn't speak Spanish growing up when I was in school, because my entire school was in English. And while my primos in Miami were primarily all Spanish speaking, they all spoke Spanish in and out of school, and their house and at school, because everyone in Miami speaks Spanish. Duh. It's like the most common thing for the most part. And it was It was just like it was a polar opposite world, so it was really hard for me to connect with the culture, one, and also two, the language. I feel like moving to Florida did a lot of damage to that instead of me being in LA for that. Nonetheless, I grew up and I realized it was time for me to just kind of branch into it in myself because I wasn't taught it. I heard stories of what my parents would tell me from their time in Peru before they immigrated, the times they immigrated, what happened to them and all that stuff. And that's where I take into consideration, how do I form my adulthood experience of with my culture? How do I form the child version of my experience as a kid dealing with the culture I was given, whether it's whatever culture it is? Maybe your parents are from the Caribbean, how that affects your childhood. If your parents are from Central America, wherever, and that in that region, it also is how you learn from it as a child. So look, I'm just saying that, like, the child version of you interpreting the culture of your family and being the kid of immigrants that you are, or anyone involved, just like overall that version, like you learning your culture as a child from your immigrant parents and taking that into account as a child, mind you, I'm going to keep reminding you, a child, versus how you interpret your culture when you reach adulthood. So from teenage years to adult years, I feel like for me personally, it might have switched every single time. When I was a kid, I had no idea, no knowledge. My second era of life, teenage years, I felt like still the same, most part, like more aware, but also for the most part. And it took me until my adulthood, like college or late high school, to really sit down and be like, this is the culture I have and I need to start acknowledging that and speaking more Spanish with my dad. And that's what I did, and I do it to this day. Now I feel like I've improved in that a lot, and it's just the way it is. But also a lot of proving something, I'm proving enough, you know, I've gotten that, and it's frustrating when your own culture says you're not enough for your also said culture. It also really sucks. It's like, damn, okay, well, I thought I was doing pretty good here. I've done research, I've learned, I take into account what my parents have told me, their stories, their life, their lives before, you know, immigrating, and their lives during it and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, I'm not validated to be proving enough, or just overall validated to speak on the culture that I have, just cause, oh, you didn't grow up with it as much. And I was like, that wasn't my fault though. That wasn't, I had no decision of where I went to school when I was like a kid. I had no decision. I had no say. I just showed up when the time came for it, you know? And like I said, I grew up in a primarily white area in Florida when I lived there. And also, I need you guys to realize, if you don't know, like, I went to school in a wider area, okay, during the week. And then during the weekends, I'd be in Miami with my family. Every weekend I was there, or they'd come up to where I was living at the time in West Palm Beach County. Or is that the county? Fort Lauderdale? No, it's not Dade County. It's West Palm Beach County. That's different. Very different. Very different. But it just is a different life, dude. It shaped who I am as a kid, and it made me lose sight of that. And I always say that, look, my vision in life that I know I have to do is bring Peruvian culture to LA, be the one to do it. I've said it 1,000 times, I feel like, today, but it's the truth. And I want to be the woman that is known for doing that, to bring it to LA, to have it be known, to have it be respected, to have it be something that I have something to say. Like, yeah, make some fucking noise for Peru. Like, we are always forgotten. We are always, if you hear any reggaeton song or any party song at the club, how often do you hear, make some noise for the Peruvians in the room? Never, dude, never. Do you know how many artists fail, like, to mention Peru? They mention literally every other country. Colombia, Venezuela, what's it called? Puerto Rico, like, everything. And is that bad? No, it's not. For the most part, I love when they do that shit. I love when they go with countries. I'm like, fuck yeah. But is Peru ever on that list? No, dude, actually, never. Never. So it's like kind of like we're always forgotten. We're always ignored. And I feel like it's time that I make space for that. But then again, if I'm the one that's so-called not proving enough for the culture, it's like, then who is? And also, I think that you should be allowed to give yourself your own meaning to connecting to your own culture. I grew up in a predominantly white area in Florida. And as I grew up and grew older in my adulthood living in California, like, two different worlds. And I can also, one, learn myself, and two, just Google away, ask questions from my parents, what that lifestyle is, what their lives were pre-immigration and stuff like that. So my point is that, like I've mentioned 1,000 times, I want to bring Peruvian culture to LA and, excuse me, to make it a well-respected time, to make it well-known, to make it admired, to be respected in that realm. And to actually not have this country be forgotten. It's a country that exists in South America. I've met every South American under the fucking moon, it feels like. But I can't tell you enough how hard it is to want to do this and make this a goal of mine, but also not, and also be told I'm not proving enough, I'm not cultured enough about the actual culture that I grew up around, first off. And it's like, oh, she lives in LA, she eats healthy, and all that bullshit. It's like, okay, yeah, and I can't eat a pollo a la brasa con papas y arroz con mi ají. I can't do that either. I'm fake for that. Oh, God forbid. I'm sorry. I didn't know that we were the fucking culture cops over here. So I'm just saying, man, it's a hard thing, but I will end with that. Like I've said for the fucking millionth time, I just don't know how else to reiterate it. I don't know how else to reiterate it, dog. I really don't know. But I know that I'm supposed to bring Peruvian culture to LA. I know that's my calling, or at least a big goal of mine. It is to finally have representation for Peru that isn't negative, isn't fetishized, isn't something that people assume is Mexico. Not like it's a bad thing, but they're two different cultures, both beautiful cultures, and they should be admired as separate units. And compare and contrast in good ways. None of them are bad. They're just different. There's nothing wrong with difference. There's nothing wrong with admiring cultures that are different. And also just dealing with ignorant fucks who don't respect other cultures other than the ones they hear on stereotypical TV, media, and stuff like that. I want people to respect Peru as a country, as a culture, what it offers, what it brings, the beauty of it, also the nasty side of it. It doesn't have a clean history. No country in the world does. And so, but if I want to do those things, God forbid I do that, and then Peruvians are going to come at my neck, most of them, or some of them, they're going to be like, well, you live in LA, you were born in LA, like, you don't get to say that, you lived in Florida, who are you to say that you can do that? I'm like, well, it's my calling, I don't know what to tell you, I'm not just saying it out of my ass, I feel like I need to do this for myself, and for the culture, if you will. But then again, who am I to say? Apparently I'm not proving enough, so my fault, guys, I'm sorry. Didn't know this was the culture cops over here, but anyways, I'm going to end with that. And with that being said, I feel like I've talked so much about Peru today. Shout out to the culture, for real. I love y'all so much. But anyways, thank you so much for listening. I hope you guys have a beautiful rest of your week into the new week. Hopefully you get everything you desire and more. Hopefully your new year is treating you well. And I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye.